May only the truth be spoken here, and only the truth received. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about England, but in Canada, the mother-in-law is the subject of some pretty nasty comments and rude jokes. And being a mother-in-law, I really object to those. Yet here we have the good news of Jesus Christ according to Mark with a mother-in-law in it. When I was first ordained, one of our senior priests who had come from an outport in Newfoundland, now Newfoundland is an island off the coast of Canada, and it's fairly far north, and it's very rural. And his parish had 22 little congregations along the shore. And he got there by boat, and the boatman traveled with him, and he was usually gone for 27 or 28 days on each excursion through the parish. He'd begin at one end of the shore and go every other church to the end and then come back with the others that he had missed on the way up. He said about himself, "I was a rather lazy lad, so I just did one sermon for the whole trip." So he and the boatman had a sermon on Simon Peter's mother-in-law for the better part of a month. When they were coming back to their home port, they both noticed that the flags were at half-mast. And the preacher asked, "I wonder who died?" And the boatman said, "Oh, I guess Simon Peter's mother-in-law didn't make it this time." It's an odd little story about an event that comes in the middle of a long day for Jesus. We heard the beginning last Sunday. We heard Jesus healing the man who was disrupting the synagogue service. And the synagogue service got back on track and ran through to the end. And Simon Peter invited Jesus and the others home to his house, presumably for lunch. When they arrived, Simon Peter remembered that his mother's wife was sick. His wife's mother was sick. And maybe no lunch would be ready. But having seen Jesus at work already healing other people, Peter takes Jesus to the mother-in-law. He takes her by the hand, helps her up, and the sickness leaves her. It's a great story. But then comes the punchline. She got up and what did she do? I've heard different versions and different translations. She waited on them. She served them. Even a paraphrase that said she got them their lunch. Well, what was it that she did? I'm not a Greek scholar, but the Greek word is diakonai. And I'm told that that same Greek word is translated earlier in the first chapter of Mark when referring to the angels who ministered to Jesus. And it's translated later in the book of Acts when it refers to Stephen and Philip as being set apart with prayer and the laying on of hands for serving the widows and orphans. And it's translated as serve when Jesus refers to himself as one who came not to be served, but to serve. Diakonai. It's translated later at the crucifixion when the women at the cross ministered to him. So the mother-in-law served them or ministered to them. It's an odd little story. This is the first reference to women in the first gospel written, and though it's only 3 verses long, it is significant. Is Simon's mother-in-law a woman bowing to culture and convention and keeping to her restricted role as a servant, or is she a new disciple quietly demonstrating the service asked of all who follow Jesus? Now, for Mark, to serve is to be a true disciple. It's the hallmark of Jesus, who called himself the servant of all. So Simon Peter's mother-in-law becomes a disciple, and she serves others. Mark's word, diakonai, becomes the term used to describe the ministry of service expected of all Christians. In our baptismal liturgy in Canada, serving is one of the commitments of a baptized person. Each one is asked, "Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?" And everyone answers, "I will, with God's help." And everyone is reminded each time we celebrate a baptism, because our liturgy provides an opportunity for all of us to renew our baptismal promises. Service to others, as service to God, is one of the requirements that Jesus sets. Matthew 25, verse 35 and following, is not just a lovely idea. "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you provided them. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Whatever you did for the least of my brothers and sisters, you did for me." Service to God through serving God's people is clearly stated as the criterion for selection when judgment time comes. It's not about words on a paper. It's not about legislation. It's about service to God's people. Loving service is also one of the marks of mission of the Worldwide Anglican Communion. And it states, to respond to human need by loving service. I've had the amazing privilege of serving on the Anglican Consultative Council for the past 9 years. And there I've heard some of the amazing stories of our global Anglican networks and their attempts to provide loving service in a wide variety of ways. The Inter-Anglican Women's Network, the Family Network, the Healthcare Network, the Youth Network, the Justice and Peace Network, and there are others. These are places where Anglicans from around the world are working together to meet human need with loving service. And where people work together as servants of Christ, and human need is met with loving service, that's where the kingdom of God is being built. And isn't that what we're supposed to be about? Building the kingdom of God? Making God's dream of justice and joy come true for all people. The mother-in-law provided loving service that Jesus identified as the chief characteristic of those who desire to follow him. Mark put her story in the opening chapter of the good news of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, "I have come not to be served, but to serve." Are we paying attention? God calls us to seek and serve Christ in all persons. Jesus taught us that serving the least of the brothers and sisters is serving him. May God the Holy Spirit give us courage and commitment to take the example of the mother-in-law and humbly to serve the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.